And of course, we're going to continue in our study of blood. Today's study will be study number 39 in the series, and the date for the recording will be 12/2/18. Yes, we are into December, and I can't believe it, but 2018 is just about in the books. Our purpose, as always, for this study is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of blood through the study of God's mention and usage of it throughout Scripture. So we will be continuing again today, again with our ongoing study of blood, how it's used in God's Word, since it appears in 392 verses throughout the Scripture. For our last study, we began looking at the blood usage of the blood and the usage of the word by the prophet Jeremiah in chapters 4 through 18. We covered several instances last weekend. For today, we're going to continue doing that. I want you to turn with me, if you would, here for the beginning to Jeremiah chapter 19. The prophet of Jeremiah chapter 19. And of course, these are the words of the Lord being given to the prophet Jeremiah to be given to specific Jewish kings about 500 years B.C. or thereabouts. So when we get that context out there for you, and that helps me understand how to interpret what I'm reading when I read the Old Testament or any of the books of the Scripture, to know who wrote it, when they wrote it, what was wrote, and the circumstances around which it was wrote. And it just helps me get my brain around it. Yeah, y'all grab some Scripture if you need it. I've already had to apologize to my guest this morning. I'm not as good a host as Mimi is. And so she's... I can tell when the right hand ain't here, the one that knows everything. So anyway, turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 19. I'm going to read the entire, it's on page 1043 in the Companion Bible, if you have a CB. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and this one's interesting. Not as if the rest of them aren't, but this one is particularly interesting because here, I got what I call the history of hell. Now, you may or may not understand at this point what we're going to talk about here, but let's go through and see what Jeremiah has to say here. Remember, this is from the Lord being given to Jeremiah to be passed on to the leadership of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, 19:1, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, or a clay pot, basically. So he tells Jeremiah, go get a clay pot and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, those are the elders, take of those elders and go forth, listen to this, unto the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Now do you know where this is? This is a valley on the southwestern corner of the city of Jerusalem, the valley of Tophet. The valley, it's called of the sons of Hinnom. Now, you say, well, Ronnie, why is that significant? That is very significant because when you get to the days of the Lord and when you get to the New Testament and when you turn in your New Testament and you see the word hell, H-E double hockey sticks, as I've heard it called. Y'all probably have too, haven't you? You see that word hell. What you're going to see is the Lord talking to the scribes and Pharisees about this place. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. It's better than, you know, and he goes into these various parables of how your entire body should be cast into this place other than for you to lose your hope of resurrection, to connect it to Barney's study and to sort of draw it to a conclusion there. If you look at the word hell in the English, and we did a study on this similar to the one we did on blood, we did a study on the word hell years and years ago, 33 or 34 studies. And you go through the whole of it. One of the words that you will see, if you see your English word hell, used in the King James Version, you're looking at one of possible three Greek words that it could be translated from. And they took three different Greek words and they rendered every one of them hell in the English so that us English speaking people could read them. One of them, and the one used the most in the book, in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, is the word Gehenna. G-E-H-E-N-N-A, Gehenna. Transliterated into the Greek, the word Gehenna literally means the valley of the sons of Hinnom, which is exactly what Jeremiah is talking about here, right here in Jeremiah chapter 19. This is a real place. It is not a fictitious place. It is not some supernatural place. It is a valley right there southwest of the city of Jerusalem. And it was, and you'll see in the days of the Lord, it was used as a dump, as a trash dump, basically for the city of Jerusalem. And that's the place where the poor people, if they had absolutely no tomb, which was, tombs were in high demand in this area. The ground was so hard, so rocky, that they couldn't just dig a hole and bury people like we did. They literally had to find a hole in the rocks or a cave to use as a tomb, as a grave. So you're going to see the Lord in his day talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and the word used in the Greek text in the New Testament is Gehenna, which is transliterated from the Old Testament Hebrew into the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. It's the same exact place. It's not fictitious. It's where the corpses were taken. It was basically the landfill. Everybody in Oconee County knows where the Oconee County landfill is. Well, Jerusalem was no different. Fairly large city. And they used this place that Jeremiah is about to curse. Literally, he is about to curse this place. And there's a reason that the place is going to receive the curse. So I wanted to get that all out front before we got too far into this, so you would understand what he's talking about here and what's actually going on. So he tells Jeremiah to go get a clay pot and round up the elders of both the people and the priest. And verse 2, go forth into the valley of the sons of Hinnom, which is, he's going to tell you exactly where it is, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell ye. Get the pot, round up the people, go to the gate, and I'll tell you what to say, is basically what he's saying here. Then he says this in verse 3, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. So we know exactly who he's talking to here, don't we? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. I am going to curse this place so that when you even hear of it, your ears will tingle. He says, that's a pretty heavy curse.
It's going to have an impact.
Yeah, it's going to have a lasting, long-term impact on this place, is what he's talking about. Why? Tells us in verse 4. Because they have forsaken me, they being Israel. They have forsaken me and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods. They use this place as a worship place for false gods. The people did. They burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They sacrificed their children. Do you hear what I said? They took and they slaughtered their own children to these false gods in this place, in this valley. So Jeremiah's going to step out and he's going to curse it. This place is unholy. I don't know how big it is. Covered probably several square miles. Could possibly have been that big. I've seen maps of it from the ancient city of Jerusalem, but I can't tell from the scale exactly how big that valley was. But he said, you filled this place with the blood of innocents. There's our first occurrence of the word blood is in verse 4. Here's the reason, part of the reason that this valley is being cursed. They have built also the high places of Baal. And these high places were gigantic phallic symbols that they used in the worship of these false gods. Sexual statues, no less than that. It's exactly what they were. That's what the high places are when you see them in the scripture. They've built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. They literally sacrifice their own children in fire to these false gods. God said, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. I would never, God said, have thought of doing anything like this. But you did it, Israel. You sacrificed your own children to these gods, and these things never even came into my mind, God said. Therefore, well, here it comes. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Renamed it. And I will make void, verse 7, the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives and their carcasses. Their dead bodies, God said, will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beast of the earth. The birds and the worms are going to eat the councils of Jerusalem in this place. It literally turns out to be the trash dump from this point forward of Jerusalem. And the dead carcasses of those who have no tomb, the criminals that die, all that die unworthy are taken here and they are left here because there simply is nothing more you can do with them. I mean, this is not a nice place to be. All manner of filth and stench. The buzzards were there. The worms were there taking care of the dead bodies. Not a nice place. He says in verse 8, and I will make this city desolate and an hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them, the birds and the worms, them is the birds and the worms, I'll cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. This is the daughters of the elders, sons and the daughters of the elders. And they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. All the dead from the battles that are going to happen will end up here, God says. And the birds and the worms will literally feast on them. There'll be so many. Verse 10. Then he says, shall thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee? You break that pitcher. Remember, he was told to take the clay pot pitcher with him. He says, so after you say this, then you show them the pitcher and you break the pitcher in the sight of the men that go with thee. And shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city. I will break Israel and I will break Jerusalem like a clay pot, God says. Is that easy for God to do? Yes, it is. And later on in the book, the breaking is going to take place by a king named Nebuchadnezzar, who is going to be sent and literally ravage Israel and Jerusalem. Everybody remembers the name Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Yep.
He said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. You won't be able to fix it. And they shall bury them in Tophet, in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, in the valley of slaughter, till there be no place to bury."
Whoa. Don't fill it up.
Don't fill it, slam up. You'll put them there until there ain't no more room. Till there ain't no more room in the cemetery. Wow. Verse 12. "Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet." And do the same thing to Jerusalem, he says. "And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roof they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods." Do you think God likes for people, his people, to worship other gods? It doesn't look like it, does it? Doesn't look like that goes so well, at least.
It was also like, too, that these plagues and the things that went along with all this stuff and the dealing with the blood and the sexual things and all this, that there was something there that maybe we even haven't seen. And I sometimes wonder when reading this, you know, when we talk about AIDS, if AIDS wasn't really prevalent there and when God burned all this stuff, he did it to do away with AIDS for a period of time. But here, not too many years ago, AIDS just showed up. Where'd it come from?
Yeah.
You know, so you wonder when you read all this, and you look at it and you see how bad God abhorred that, and that how hard it is for man to get rid of it.
Yeah, even with our technology.
Yeah, that in this day and age that...
That's a good point. It does make you wonder.
You know.
Did he hold something back?
You wonder about it. Or did he just do it for a time and allow it to come back?
Yeah, that's a good point. Verse 14, "Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people," and here's what he said when he came back from delivering the message and breaking the pot, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." Now these people are not liking what, they're not liking it at all, what Jeremiah is bringing to them. So when they, over in the New Testament, when the witnesses of the Lord there say, "You've forsaken the word and the law and you've killed the prophets," they did. In many cases, they did. People didn't like what they heard, so that, you know, if you can't do anything to God, just kill the messenger. We'll kill whatever we can get to. Didn't change the word that God sent, but they would many times kill the prophet. Let's read on. So here's what he said. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words." Wow. So if you ever wonder the roots of the valley of the sons of Hinnom or Gehenna, as it's used in the New Testament, there you go. Just a little primer for your own hell study sometime if you want to do it. No hell study should begin without an understanding of Jeremiah chapter 19, because that's where it starts. Well, it actually starts with the abuse of the valley by the idolatrous worship that the people of Israel were doing. That's what brought it all on. And now God's tired of it. And he's getting Jeremiah to tell him, "Look, I'm tired of this, and I'm about to take care of it." And unfortunately for them, he does. So let's read on. It was in verse 4. The blood, I believe it said in 19:4. He said, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. You killed innocent people here. You shed their blood. And that, the reason that their blood was shed was even worse than killing them. Not only were they killed as innocents, they were killed as innocents as sacrifice to a false god. That's strike two for the God of Israel. He's not going to tolerate that kind of thing. Turn with me to Jeremiah 22. Now, I got some good ones here in the book of Jeremiah. It's extremely interesting. So I wrote a note here, and I want to miss this in the history of hell there. No wonder the Lord uses it for such a powerful example of destruction in his day when he was fencing with the Pharisees. There's no wonder to me that Christ himself used Gehenna or hell as the picture of total and complete destruction of where these Pharisees were headed because of what they believed. They were headed to utter and permanent destruction in the picture that he was drawing over in the New Testament. So turn with me to Jeremiah 22. I'm going to read verses 1 through 19, and our word is going to occur in verses 3 and 17. But let's read down through 19 to get the context. And again, Jeremiah comes up, more prophecy. And if you really want the setting for this, you need to read 21, 13, and 14. Let's just read 21, 14 to begin with. He continues, but I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it. Yeah, I'll take care of it, basically is what he's saying here. Then 22:1, Jeremiah continues. And he says, thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. So we know immediately again who he's talking to. If you can sway the king of the people, perhaps the people will follow him. Jeremiah's message was given not only, but primarily to the king, but also to the ears of all those that were sitting around, kind of to the cabinet, so to say. So he says, thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood, see it, in this place. I don't want you to shed any more innocent blood here. He says, for if you do this thing indeed, verse 4, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if you will not hear these words, there's a if you do and a if you don't here. Here's the if you don't. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me in the land of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make thee a wilderness and cities which are not inhabited. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons. And they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by this city, verse 8. And they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this great city? Wow, look what God did to them. That's what the passers-by would say according to Jeremiah. Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord. Here's the reason. Here's the problem. Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshiped other gods and served them. There's the problem. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither anymore. The son's not coming back, he said. But he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. There are bad times coming for Israel as of this pronouncement. Bad times.
Absolutely.
Woe unto him, he says in verse 13. Where have you heard that? Remember in the book of Matthew? The woe be woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, the Lord would say. So you're perverting the people with what you teach. You stand to be teachers of the law, but you don't know anything about the law. The Lord called them hypocrites, the scribes and Pharisees. And this is exactly how he would open what he said. Woe be it unto you, scribes and Pharisees, in the book of Matthew. Here he says, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shall thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But, here's the but. But thine eyes and thine heart are not, but for thy covetousness and for to shed innocent blood. There it is again. You see, the blood, almost every time it's used in the book of Jeremiah, the blood is connected with the innocence that went with it. Blood shed wrongly. Blood shed for no reason. Blood shed for only the reason to sacrifice or to kill in vain. And for to shed innocent blood and for oppression and for violence to do it. Verse 18. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass. They'll bury him just like they would a donkey. That's pretty bad. It's not a, how many donkey funerals have you ever been to? I've never been to a donkey.
Been to a mule funeral.
I've never been to a donkey funeral. But that evidently is what Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, was going to get. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem, outside the gate, but without the gate, outside of the city, a burial of shame, a burial of utter destruction. We'll stop there with that one. Turn with me for the last one today. These in Jeremiah are really pointed and very obvious in their meaning, what's going on with the blood in the book of Jeremiah.
Well, where he talks up there about the many nations passed through the city. Jerusalem and the area of the temple went back to like a jungle for 70 years because they had not done what they were supposed to do and keep the Sabbath.
Yeah, he's going to talk about that too. Yeah.
Literally
goes back to the elements.
And there was wild animals there that would make crazy noises. And the people, they wouldn't even stop there, not even around there.
Well, that's what he said. You know, the people will walk by and like, man, what'd they do? You know, what did God do to
them? How bad is this?
Yeah, this is pretty bad. Exactly. That's a good point. Turn with me to Jeremiah 26, and this will be the last one for this morning. Blood's going to be used in verse 15 in this, but I want to read all the way through 15 to give you the context going. And incidentally, in verse 1 where it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this dates this. If you look at the note in the Companion Bible, it says, i.e. before the siege in the third year of Jehoiakim. Now, when it means before the siege, that's before the siege of Nebuchadnezzar. So this is just prior to the overthrow that has been prophesied all through the book of Jeremiah. It's pretty much what the book of Jeremiah is about, if you get right down to it. So let's read on. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. Say what I tell you to say and don't leave out a single word, God says. I would think that Jeremiah probably had the Lord helping him in what he would exactly say.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Lord gives him a lot to say. I'd have to say, you know, with my little puny brain, I'd have to say, Lord, slow down a little bit. Ronnie can't keep up with all that you're giving him to say. So he says in verse 3, if so be, they will hearken and turn away every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. God says they might listen. And I won't have to execute what I've got planned to execute, is what he's telling Jeremiah to tell him. He says in verse 4, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then, he says, will I make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. And if you look back over the history of Shiloh, it is not a good one. Another place, evidently, that was leveled. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. They heard him. The people heard him. And now it came to pass, verse 8, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priest and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. We are not listening to any more of this. We are going to just kill you. We're tired of hearing this. Whenever they got the word from the Lord that they didn't want to hear, their solution to that problem was to kill the messenger. You ever heard that expression? To shoot the messenger? Can't do anything about the bad news, but I can shoot the messenger. Well, that doesn't do anything. It doesn't help anything. The message stands regardless of the disposition of the messenger. But that was their solution. Let's just kill the prophet. Ah, problem solved. We don't have to listen to this junk anymore. It's like the bad news on TV. You get tired of hearing the news, you just turn the TV off, right?
Yeah.
Does that change the news? No, the news is still terrible.
Kind of like the little engine light coming on.
Yeah, just put a piece of tape over.
Put something over.
I don't have to, you know, I don't want to look at that check engine light. I'll just put a piece of tape over. Now, you know, of course, it probably won't be long until you'll be walking.
Yeah.
But I know people that do that. They literally, I can't stand that light. I'll just put a piece of black electrical tape over it. I'm like, okay. Verse 9. You have this, they told him, Jeremiah, you're going to surely die. We're tired of listening to this. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city be desolate without an habitation. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. They were tired of it. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house into the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then speak the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die. For he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. So the elite people, the smart people, the people in charge come up and said, because of what he says, he's worthy of death.
Yeah, there was a place for them to sit in the temple, and they took their seat and made a judgment.
And when they heard him, they were not happy. Why? Because he told them the truth. The truth hurts. Yeah. Remember the old movie, You Can't Handle the Truth? It's exactly what's going on here. They couldn't handle the truth. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes, and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me. You see that? Did he go of his own accord? No. He said, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. I didn't make any of this up. The Lord sent me to tell it to you. Therefore, he says, now amend, change, fix your ways and your doings. What you need to do is change the way you're doing things. And obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you. God has given you a chance, he's telling them. All you've got to do is fix your ways. And he won't send Nebuchadnezzar to wipe you out. But they wouldn't listen. He says, as for me, listen to this, verse 14. Behold, I'm in your hands. He wasn't going to put up a fight. I'm just the messenger, y'all. As for me, here I am. I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Do with me whatever you want. I'm not going to change the message. Message remains as it is given of God. I didn't make it up, and I can't change it, he says, so I'm in your hands to do whatever you want to do. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood. There it is again. See, his blood was what? His blood was innocent blood. He was doing that which the Lord gave him to do. He was merely the messenger. You shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Now, if you want to read the rest of that, what the really smart people had to say, they began to question, I don't really know whether we ought to kill Jeremiah or not, y'all. Let's stop and talk about this a minute. You know, to boil it down to simple terms. But the nation of Israel is at a crossroads here. And the way that the blood is being presented here is always, if you'll notice, every one of these today were innocent blood, innocent blood, innocent blood. You've taken and slain innocent blood in this place. It's always the innocent blood with Jeremiah, at least in these last few chapters here. So we'll stop there for today. And my hope is that you'll continue checking this out and reading. It's really interesting when you get into some of these prophecies and the things that that were waiting to befall the nation of Israel that could have been avoided had they heeded the words of the prophet. But what did they do? They said, we need to just kill you. You're a problem. You're a little bit of a pest. We're not going to change, so we're just going to take you out. That was their solution. But, as I said, in the rest of the chapter, they They do have a little inquisition about it, at least, and I won't spoil it for you. I'll let you read that for yourself.